Hearty welcome to each one of you this morning. It is good to dwell in the Lord's house. And again, I think we can see in this past week what true fellowship does among believers. How we've come around and surrounded the youngers and upheld them in prayer and supported them. That is what I want to focus on this morning is true fellowship. And I want to speak on a portion of the Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Philippians chapter 1, 1 to 11. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, until the glory and praise of God. May God bless the reading of his word. But I believe it is impossible to read the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians and miss Paul's great love that he had for the church. In fact, as you read his many letters, we can see the love that he had for the church. And it seems like Paul, he had a special bond with those at Philippi. And his desire was to encourage them in their faith. You know, this passage that we look at today, it paints a picture of a healthy, of a prosperous congregation of believers. And as we look at the thoughts that Paul shares on this text, I want us to consider and how mindful he was of that church at Philippi. Paul reveals his great love for the Philippians. He thinks of them often. He has them in his heart, and he's concerned about them. And we also see that he continually prays for them. And what a blessing that would have been for the Philippians, knowing that here's this man, he's doing all these things. And where was he? It says in these verses, we don't only see the relationship that Paul has with the Philippians, but also with God. And that is not only the wonderful work that he starts in us, but what he finishes in us as well. In verse 3, he focuses on his remembrance. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And it is evident that the church in Philippi was continually on the mind of Paul. You know, as he thought of the church, he was compelled to thank the Lord Jesus for them. His love and his devotion, it prompted him to pray for them. You know, isn't it remarkable that Paul is thinking of others and not of himself? You just need to look at the situation that Paul is in. He's waiting for his trial in Rome, and yet his mind goes back to the believers in Philippi. He's in prison, he's bound by chains, and there's guards that are right next to him at all times. And I don't think Paul, he would just up and say, now would be a good time to write this letter. Lord, I believe Paul had lots of time to think about the people, the church, and it is from his heart that we see his love for them. And he's writing a word of encouragement. for what they were going through. Yet when you think about that for a moment, he was in prison for preaching the gospel. He was in prison for sharing his faith that went against the laws of Rome. He was in prison because every place Paul went, he exalted Jesus Christ as our Lord. So when you think of Paul, what would we have done had we been in this situation like Paul? You know what I think? Very, very few of us would be thinking of the church, thinking of even writing a letter of encouragement, or even thinking of praying for them. I believe we would be dwelling on the situation that we were in, thinking of what's going to happen next to me, or how long am I going to have to be in here, or what are they going to do to me? We just need to think of our lives for a moment and the trials or difficulties that we go through. Where are our thoughts during those times? I don't think they're very often on others or thinking of encouraging others. No, our thoughts are on our circumstances that we're going through at that moment. And our thinking is, how can I overcome this situation that we're going through? You and I, we allow circumstances to totally consume us as we go through them. But here's Paul, he's encouraging the church. They were being shunned and hassled for their faith. In verse 27 of that same chapter, Paul tells us how we are to live our lives in spite of the persecution, in spite of trials, and live in manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul, he's not complaining. He's not fighting, trying to get out of prison as much as he would like to. But no, he's thinking of his fellow believers. And every recollection or every remembrance that he has of them, it brings him much joy. And beside God being in Paul's life, the fellowship that he had with the believers at Philippi is what kept him going. He was excited. There was much joy in his heart because of them, their zeal and their faithfulness. I believe you and I were no different. We get encouraged. We get fired up because of the joy that others have in their hearts when we see them. So as you look at your life, does all the joy and fellowship that you have with God, with others, with the church family, help you through the difficulties that you may be going through? It did for Paul, and it can do the same thing for each one of us. Jesus Christ gives us that victory. When you read in the book of Acts, you will see some of the things that happened to Paul at Philippi. How he was arrested and beaten. How he was placed in stocks. How he was humiliated before the people. But even all those things, they still brought him joy. Because it was through this suffering that we see that the jailer found Jesus. You and I, we go through trials. We go through difficulties. We go through trying times. At some point or another in our lives. And as we reflect back at those times or those difficulties, most of the time it has made us a stronger person in Christ. Our faith and our walk with Him, it has grown. It's like stepping stones. Or like James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, how it produces patience. May each one here be able to say, yes, the church did come alongside and help and support me in my difficulty. And this is what we as a church, as a body of believers are here for. To come alongside and help, to pray, and to encourage. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing. He was thanking God for the people at Philippi. They meant so much to him, and his mind kept going back to them despite of all the trials that Paul was going through at that time. My prayer is that we would be mindful of the church throughout the day and thankful for those who make it up. We are so blessed to be a part of such a wonderful group of fellow believers. In verse 4, he talks about his request. He says, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. Each time Paul prayed to the Lord, he was thankful for the church at Philippi. If we're not thankful, my friends, we become bitter. Paul, he was in prison. Nobody would blame him for his bitterness, for being bitter. When you think of a bitter or a negative person, they're constantly unsatisfied with their life. Nothing makes them happy. And they're purposely making their life miserable, not only for themselves, but also for others. Bitterness will leave you mad at the world, and the world won't care. If you're not thankful, we become discouraged. Life has a way of tearing you down, usually at your weakest moment. But Jesus never promised that it would be easy. But he does say that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And Paul tells the church to rejoice in the Lord always. And the only way you can rejoice always is in the Lord, because there are times when life seems unfair, when it seems out of control, and we do not always understand what is going on or why things happen the way they do. The Philippians were continually being lifted up by Paul, and he did it with joy. He was praying for them on their behalf. It wasn't a burden for Paul to pray for them. He loved the church at Philippi, and he found great joy in interceding for them. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we have, and often the least used. Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When I read that verse, it's not being selfish. That is being a good church member with a genuine concern for the local body of believers, which you and I are a part of. Our prayers should be offered with joy, and it should never be a burden to pray for those within the church. We're privileged to have such an opportunity. I hope we will make the most of those opportunities that come our way. Verse 5, he talks about his relationship. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul, he was also thankful for the fellowship that he enjoyed with the church at Philippi. When I look around in the church today, I must say that I'm encouraged with the amount of people that are involved in the church, and there's many. But I'm also encouraged by the ones that are not able to help physically, but spiritually. By praying. Because you have absolutely no idea how that encourages me when I hear someone say, I'm praying for you. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Going on to verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Although Paul was unable to be with the church at Philippi, he was confident of their ability and the endurance that they had in Jesus. And there's three things that I want to pull out of this verse. First of all, there was confirmation. Being confident of this very thing. Paul, he's writing to the church from a Roman prison. And they continued to face adversity and persecution for their faith. But there was no reason for fear or doubt. He was confident he had developed through a deep and enduring relationship with Jesus. Their confidence was not in men or in human ability. They were not depending on the authorities or others within society. The Lord had saved them by his grace. And they had no reason to fear the Lord failing to provide for each one of them. The second thing was that there was inspiration. While they had faced adversity and likely questioned their abilities, Paul, he offers a word of inspiration. They were not only serving the Lord with their own ability, and they had not provided for their salvation, and they were not responsible for the work in order to maintain it. The Lord had not given them a task to accomplish alone. They were simply vessels through which the Lord worked and how he revealed his power through them. He had begun this work in them, and he would continue it. And the last point in this verse is the duration or the time frame. There was no reason for them to fear the Lord ever leaving his work for them. He had begun a work and he was going to carry it to completion. They were saved, they were secure in him. And the work of grace that started at salvation would endure until the Lord calls for the church to meet face to face. There are some that are worried about their security in Christ. They question whether one can know for certain that they will make it to heaven when they pass away. But this verse says that the Lord began this work in you, and he's going to complete it. He continues to work in our lives according to his divine will, and he will continue to work in us until he calls us to meet with him. 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, when he says being confident, it means to be sure, to be absolutely convinced. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, I'm absolutely convinced of this very thing. That he who began a work in you, who's that? God. God began that work. And the church at Philippi was begun when God, like it says, opened the heart of Lydia in Acts 16, 14. She was the first convert at Philippi, and it says that the Lord opened her heart. It was the work of God. And then God saved others that day by the riverside. And then God saved the Philippian jailer. And he took that whole jail, burst loose all the chains and the stocks and all the prisoners. They were set free. And in that context, God granted the jailer faith and his household, and he started the church in Philippi. It refers then to the time of salvation. Paul says, I'm absolutely confident of this very thing, that God who saved you began the work. I believe it's important to understand that salvation is a work of God. It is He who has begun that good work in you. Philippians 2, verse 13, it says, it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. John 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. And the point that Paul is making in verse 6 is this. He says, I am confident, I am assured, I'm absolutely convinced of this very thing, that God, who saved you, started a good work in you. And the good work means noble, and it is a noble work. Salvation starts a process of sanctification and brings it to glorification. And the work that God has started, He's going to perfect it. He's going to bring it to its full conclusion, or you could say He's going to bring it to a complete end. Now, Paul, he doesn't say, I hope this works out for you. He says, I'm confident of this. I'm absolutely convinced of this. What God begins, He completes. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, and who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or pearl or sword? Yet in all these things we are conquerors through Him that loved us. And I'm convinced neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, nothing is going to change that. He is going to carry you on to the time when you meet Him. And what a tremendous thought. God will finish His work of grace. In verse 7, although Paul was bound in prison, he was not dismayed. He continued to trust in the Lord, and he rejoiced in Him. He pursued to carry out his commitment even while facing adversity. Paul, he was devoted. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Paul, he remained committed to the church in Philippi. He remained committed to the work of the ministry as long as he lived. You know what, I believe it would have been easy for Paul just to give up and live his last years in solitude, but he remained devoted to the church. How devoted would we have been had we been in Paul's shoes? Or devoted despite the trials that kept coming our way? Paul, he wanted to be a blessing to them in any way he could as long as he lived. And what a challenge for the church. What a challenge for us as believers. We need those with a burden for the church. We need those to be burdened for those that are unsaved. And we need to live each day with a heart for Christ, His church, and the work of the gospel. And Paul, he was also delighted. He says, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And although Paul was bound in Rome, they were miles away in Philippi, he rejoiced for their fellowship in the faith. They had a constant aim in their hearts and in their minds. And that was to encourage Paul in his bonds. They continued to share the good news with those who were unsaved. And while he longed to be there working alongside them, Paul rejoiced because that work continued even in his absence. You know, I'm amazed at how Paul focused, remained on them even though he was far from them. You know, we may be separated at times, but the bond we carry in Jesus is not hindered by space nor by time. And as believers, we are a family in the Lord, entrusted with the gospel and obligated to carry on the work of the ministry. And then we see his desire. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul greatly desired to be with the church at Philippi. He thought of them often. He prayed for them continually. He longed for them with great passion and affection. And he loved them as the Lord desired. So do we share a desire like Paul did? I'm sure we all love the church, but do we love her as we should? Are we burdened for the needs and committed to the church's well-being? And are we committed to praying for the church as we should? No, my prayer is that our desire for the church will deepen and grow, helping to maintain a healthy environment within the church. Lord, I'm so thankful for the church and rejoice to be included within the body of Christ as we're all serving the same Lord. He who has begun a good work in you, my friends, he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what a beautiful promise and encouragement for us as fellow believers. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you for the power of your word. Father, we want to thank you for Paul, how he focused on the church at Philippi. Despite the trials and the persecution that he was going through at that time. And Father, we can very clearly see with you living inside of him, how those trials, they may have affected him, but he didn't let it become a distraction. Rather, he focused on the believers in the church. And Father, may we have that same desire. May you continue to strengthen us when we go through difficulties, that we will focus on you and your word and be surrounded with fellow believers. Believers that uphold us in prayer, that encourage us, and that come alongside us. Father, we thank you for your great love that you have for mankind. Father, we pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord, that today would be the day. Today they would accept you as their personal Savior. Father, we thank you for the work that you've started in us, Lord, that you will complete it. Lord, we thank you for being here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Furthermore, if nothing else to present to you this morning, I want to thank you for coming. My prayer is that we encourage through God's word and how the Apostle Paul, how he focused on the church of Philippi despite the trials that he was going through. For my wife and our two boys, we want to wish you a blessed new year. And may God go with you. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may depart in the peace of the Lord.